We're going back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 into chapter 2. Read this last week and kind of covered it, but there's so much more there. I think we'll leave off after this week, but there's plenty there that we could bear down on. But I think we'll hit at least the highest of the high points. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you'll indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition you have made for him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord yearly sacrifice to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the priest. Amen. An album that some of you probably remember, and some of you certainly are too young to, is called All Things Must Pass. It was the first multi-record album that George Harrison did after the Beatles broke up. And the last song on that set is Hear Me, Lord. And in that song, George Harrison included three significant prayers. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And hear me, Lord. Well, that's the prayer of Hannah, isn't it? Hear me, Lord. She's looking for someone who will hear her, someone who will listen to her. We talked last week about how, probably for most of us guys, we think Elk there was doing a pretty good job, and I tried to show you how maybe not so much. I don't think he really heard her. He didn't hear the cries of her heart. Certainly Eli didn't, representing the Lord in his church. And yet the Lord did. She went and the Lord heard her. So she cried that great prayer, hear me, Lord, and the Lord heard her. Reminds me of another book on prayer I read. It's by Anne Lamott. It's called Help, Thanks, Wow. And in that, Anne Lamott says, those are the three significant prayers of every Christian. Help, because we need help. And then the Lord helps us. We say, thanks. And then often, because of what the Lord does, because of his power, because of his kindness, because of his generosity, we can only say, wow. And I think that fits Hannah's situation also, doesn't it? She really got more than what she expected. She became not only a mother, but a mother in Israel, the mother of a prophet, the mother of a priest, the mother of the one who would anoint the king, who was the king pointing forward to the King of Kings. And that's really the essence of what we want to look at today. But I want to start with thinking about her prayer. I mentioned it last week, but we didn't touch on it much. So let me give you the contrary view to mine, and then I'll give you my view. Always different, huh? There are many people that you could read on this section that say this is a godly prayer of a righteous woman. A godly prayer of a righteous woman. She unburdens her heart before the Lord and makes a vow before the Lord, a very godly thing to do. She cries out. She wants a son. But she says, Lord, if you will give me my son, then I will give him back to you. I'll entrust him to you all the days of his life. And they say, what a godly action of what a deeply godly woman. And there are some wonderful, fine, intelligent, gifted commentators that take that view. And I'm not one of them. I think it's a flawed view, flawed prayer of a very flawed woman. We talked about last week the time. This is just after the period of the judges. Remember, the judges book ends with this awful saying, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. And so in the midst of this terribly corrupt period, you have a corrupt priest, Eli. We're going to see some of the foolishness of Eli. You have his sons, who are not good priests or faithful priests at all, Hophni and Phinehas. We're going to see more about them. And so you have corruption, you have degradation, and yet God is still God. And he's still there, and he's still ministering. But we talked even about Elkanah. Here's a faithful man. He goes up year by year and offers sacrifices, goes to the priest, seeking to be faithful to God, but has two wives. Right? He missed the, from the beginning, it was not so, that God created Adam and Eve, and that was to be the pattern. So he's violated the pattern. So he's a child of his times and makes certain allowances, I think, as we look back. But you understand that he didn't see the full, beautiful picture of what God intended. And it's hard to conceive how would his wife, the wife who has been neglected, the wife who has been abused, the wife who has been ridiculed, the wife who has been suffering, how would she have a clear picture of God? Where would she have gotten it? Not from Eli, not from Hophni and Phinehas, not even from Elkanah. But somehow she knew some things about God. She knew he was a God of power. And she knew he was a God who hears. And so she comes and strikes a bargain with him. That's why I think it's a flawed prayer. Lord, God, God of hosts, the God of power, the God of might, the God of glory, if you will give me a son, here's what I'll do for you. Now that sounds like bargaining to me. It's not just seeking God's blessing, but striking a bargain. And we do those kind of flawed prayers, don't we? Maybe I'm alone in this. But there have been those times, you know, oh, Lord, if you'd only let me get through this situation, then here's what I'll do. You know, if you've heard people pray like that, if you haven't, you know, oh, Lord, grant me this, and I'll never ask you for another thing. Yeah, until tomorrow. You know, Lord, give me this, and I'll keep the commandments. I won't lie, and I won't steal, and And I'll learn the commandments. And you know, you make those kind of bargains with God, and it's a flawed sort of prayer. God's not looking for a deal with you. God's looking for you to trust him. But he sees in the midst of the flawed prayer trust. I've told you probably far too many times, but here it is one more time, that there was a great and godly man many centuries ago, or in the Puritan period, named James Usher, Archbishop Usher. The only thing that he tends to be remembered for is he's the guy that did the analogy, the chronology, I mean, that figured out that creation was 4004 B.C., so he's often ridiculed for that. You know, Usher's the guy that thought God created in 4004 B.C. because he added the various chronologies in Scripture up and all that. It's a shame that that's what he's known for. He was a tremendously godly man and a great scholar, great student of God's Word. But one of the things that I love most about him, and I've told you before, and here it is again, is that he said, among many other things, this: I must repent of my repentance. Right? I must repent of my repentance. Surely one of the most godly things that we do is to repent, right? To see that we have sinned and to repent, seek God's forgiveness, say, I'm sorry for my sin. But what Usher was after in that, what he had in mind was that even that, are one of our most holy acts, the acts of repentance, is often so deeply flawed. Why are we repenting? Because we don't want to be in trouble, right? Or we got caught, right? I got caught, and I'm sorry, and I want out of it. Or we realize that maybe we've angered God, and we don't want him to be angry because we want some good stuff. And before we ask him for the good stuff, we better repent of the bad stuff. And so we do that. Lord, I want that, so I'm promising I'm going to repent of this. We have all kinds of selfish, self-centered motives for our repentance. And that's why Usher said, I must repent of my repentance. Because why should we be repenting? Because we've offended a holy God who loves us. Because we've trampled on the blood of Christ who saved us. That our sin is like spitting at our Savior. And when we see that, we should be broken and say, we repent because of God, not we repent because of me. I repent because I want, or I need, or I want this, but we repent because we see that we have offended our blessed Savior. You begin to grasp, don't you, why David said, against you and you only have I sinned. Our repentance needs to be directed to God. So also all our prayers should be for the glory of God and seeking the glory of God and not trying to strike a deal with God. So often our prayers are flawed, deeply flawed, seriously flawed, selfishly flawed. Now, that's the bad news. Let me give you the good news. The good news is this. Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You get that? Paul says, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Boy, I don't. Maybe you think you do. You know, you have the gift of immaculate perception. I know the will of God. I pray according to the will of God. I know that I'm right on the page with God. Well, good for you, but I'm not. And most of us aren't. Most of our prayers are weak and flawed and short-sighted and selfish. And so what good news is it that the Spirit kind of says, Holy Father, don't listen to him. Here's what he needs. Right? The Spirit knows the will of God and intercedes for us. I think that is good news. When John Guest was the rector of St. Stephen's, when he was getting a little advanced in age and doing a lot of other things, they hired a guy whose name I forget at the moment, but he was the co-rector. I thought, boy, that's the job I want. I want to be the co-rector, because that's how I see myself so often. I want to correct. But I'm not qualified for the job. But the Holy Spirit is. And Paul tells us the Holy Spirit corrects our prayers. He knows that we don't know what we're doing. And he takes over. I think that's good news. And I think the Spirit interceded for Hannah, because I don't think she knew what she was doing. Just like I don't know what I'm doing. Just like you don't know what you're doing. But I believe the Spirit stepped in. Why do I believe that? Because God not only answered her prayer, but answered it in an absolutely phenomenal way. He heard that prayer, that bargain, and then says, I'm going to answer that prayer, but I'm going to more than answer that prayer. She wants a son, and I'm going to give her a prophet. I'm going to give her a priest. I'm going to give her one that's going to unite the country of Israel and change history forever. I'm going to bring onto this scene a new character that's going to be my man and is going to do my work. She really becomes, in many ways, the mother of Israel. You know, like we call George Washington the father of our country. Hannah was the mother of Israel. There was no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And there was a priest in Israel, Eli, who pretty much did what was right in his own eyes. And he had sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they pretty much did what was right in their own eyes. Israel is lost. Israel is aimlessly wandering, looking for some guidance, looking for some truth. Not looking hard, but looking. And God sends the prophet and priest Samuel. And he ultimately anoints David. So Hannah prays, and the prayer changes everything. It changes her life. It changes the life of the nation. God gives her more than what she asked for, more than what she could even imagine. And isn't that what the scriptures tell us too? To him who does beyond what even we can ask for, what even we can imagine. God uses flawed prayers, God uses weak efforts, God uses people like us People were hurting and yet calling out to God to do his extraordinary will in this world. Isn't that amazing? And Hannah was amazed. And that's why she sings this song. And I know it says she said. But the distinction between prayer and chanting and singing is so minor that she celebrates the goodness of God. And she prophesies there was no king. There was no thought of a king. And she prophesies that God was going to bring his anointed king. Wherever did she get that idea? Must be the Spirit who is interceding for Hannah and speaking through Hannah. And she talks about this anointed king that God was going to bring. She gives prophecy, just like centuries later, God sends word to another woman that he's bringing his long-awaited anointed king through her. And she sings a song of celebration that is remarkably like Hannah's song, isn't it? Read again the song of Mary and the song of Hannah. And you see that God was at work a long time. But that work in so many ways started with this hurting woman who just wanted a child. But she asked a great God who does beyond what we ask and even imagine. Even weak, flawed prayers are powerful as they go to a great, merciful God by means of a loving Spirit. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we feel our weakness. We're good at times we feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof, but those times don't last long. We realize we're weak. So how we thank you that you are strong. And Lord, so then the things that we pray, the things that we say, the things that we try to do, we know are often woefully inept, selfish, flawed. And yet we see again and again in your word that you step in where we fail. That a woman who could not bear a son bore a number of children, including the prophet Samuel. That a woman who was a virgin gave birth to our Savior, Jesus. The Lord, where we come to the end of ourselves, you're just getting started. How we thank you for that. How encouraging that can be to our souls, that we are weak, but you are strong. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.